Let us pray. Father God, we just come before your throne and we bow down and we just ask, Lord, that your words would become reality to us. Let that Logos word, that living word, Lord, live in us. Lord, we ask that this night the power of your Holy Spirit would just envelop us and let us see and hear with our spiritual ears and eyes that which you have prepared and ordained for us at this hour. Lord, we love you, praise you, and give you all the glory. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in these vessels and in this place. Lord, we just bow down and we ask right now that you would bring to us the very words that you have prepared for this hour. And we command in the name of Jesus Christ that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of religiosity, every spirit that would try to hinder, in the name of Jesus Christ, you must be bound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's pretty timely, I guess. The word that the Lord's got for us tonight is end of the harvest. Because it is. It's the end of the harvest. There's a harvest in the spring, which is a barley harvest. And the harvest that is in the fall is the wheat harvest. And the Lord likened the world unto the wheat harvest. And it is the harvest that signifies the end of the year, or the end of the harvest. Tonight, if you would like to follow along in your Bibles, take your Bibles and open with me to Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. This is where Jesus was teaching his disciples to do his work. To be his hands, his feet, and his mouth. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." As I said, the Lord was training his disciples to do his work. Verse 37 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now let us turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, "You are now ready. Go and find a need and fill it." In Matthew chapter 28, begin at verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus once again says unto his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I just want to read that verse 15 over again. It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Verse 16, "And he that believeth and is baptized." The word baptized means to be sealed. Remember that. The word baptized means to be sealed. This is not talking about baptism in water. This is being baptized in the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. And you will see later how it fits into what the Lord says. He that believeth and is baptized or sealed shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:17 through 20, Jesus continues. We're going to read this twice. First, we're going to read the true text. Then we're going to read the text with certain words defined in this text. So let us read it first through in the true text. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now we're going to read it in a word definition, certain words defined here. Now you're going to have to think about this and listen closely. The words that are going to be defined are signs, shall, and with. And it reads like this. I'm going to say the words, but after it, I'm going to say what they also can mean. And these signs, or outward manifestations, shall, or will have to, follow them that believe. In my name shall they, or they must, and will be able to, cast out devils. They shall, or they must, and will be able to speak with new tongues. Or in other words, a new language. Verse 18. They shall, or will be able to, take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall, which also can be translated as can, and the next word is not, hurt them. They shall or must and will have to lay hands on the sick, and they shall or they must and can and will have to recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, and the word with can be replaced with through them. Through them how? Through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And confirming the word with signs following, or the outward manifestation of the power of God's Holy Spirit in regards to the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dead physically and spiritually being brought to life. Think about it. Think about it. Right now, Christians who are and those who will be on the front line of battle are being made ready and are just about to come into the time that the Lord spoke to Pastor Tom and I about this past Father's Day. Some of you will remember, I told you at the 4th of July gathering that the Lord's mandate or order for the rest of this year was that it is a time to rally together. Which means to recall to order. Because as some of you remember, this is the year to put all things in order, which was the Lord's mandate for the year 2005. To rally together means to arouse or awaken for action. To gather together for a common purpose to come together again to renew an effort to rouse or to awaken from depression in regards to sadness or weakness. Rally together also means to rebound, which means to return or bounce back. And last but not least, it means to recover or to listen closely, save from loss, and restore to usefulness, to regain a normal position, to obtain a final legal judgment in one's favor. Praise the Lord. That is the time that we're about to walk into. The Lord is restoring the power of the church. He's called a handful of people to the front line of battle that He's been preparing for many, many years. Some for a year, some for 10 years, some for 20, some for 50. But the time has come because it's the end of the harvest. It's the end of the harvest. Why did the Lord back on Father's Day say that the rest of this year was a time to rally together? Because He knew that Katrina was on her way and that He would use her to open a door in heaven for the church, the body of Jesus, the true Bible-believing, blood-bought, blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled bride of the Lord Jesus Christ to arise and shine and to burst out onto the world scene in God's power and great glory, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the church age, nor ever will be, because we're at the end and the closing moments of the church age. In John 14, 12 through 20, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That means that God dwells within the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked upon the face of this earth, and that he will be glorified through Jesus Christ, inside Jesus Christ, just as God can be glorified through us, because it is the power of God's Spirit that does all things. We can do nothing of ourselves. And this movie was the most perfect representation of that. Did you notice time after time, as Scott sat in his room studying, he didn't know what he was looking at. He had no idea what to do. He was not prepared. He didn't know God's word. He was not ready to do anything. You know why? Because the Spirit, the power of God's anointing, was not upon his life to do it. He had not a personal relationship with the Lord to walk in that manner. In verse 14 it says, Jesus said, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Who is he? He's the Holy Spirit. He's the same Spirit that worked through Jesus Christ, because it is the Spirit of God. Because yes, God is invisible. He is a spirit. But through the man, Jesus Christ, he lived in a flesh tent upon this earth, a sinless life for us to be able to take our place and forgive us of our sins through the shedding of his precious and holy blood. Even the Spirit of truth, Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit is even the Spirit of truth. Remember that. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. You notice how it says seeth him not? Because the Holy Ghost is a real person. He's a gentleman. He's a real person. He's the Spirit of truth. In this case, he has many names. He's a comforter that Jesus just said that the Father could send to us. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." There was a key right there that the Lord gave us. You have to remember, this was being written in the book of John. This is before the day of Pentecost. This is before Acts chapter 2. This is before Jesus goes back to heaven. It says that the Lord Jesus says that he dwells with you, but there's a time coming that he shall be in you, inside or within you, working from the inside out. Remember that. It's key. It's key. And Jesus said, "And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, ye shall know." Hold on. "And at that day, ye shall know." At that day, ye shall know. John chapter 14, verse 20. Before the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, "At that day, ye shall know." What day is it? It's the day of Pentecost. "And at that day, ye shall know that I am in," or inside, "my Father, and ye in me," or "ye are inside me, and I in you," or "I am inside you." And that's what you're going to know on the day of Pentecost, when the power of God's Spirit comes down from high and indwells your body. That's what he was telling his disciples. The Lord also told us on Father's Day that the year 2006 will be a year of a call to arms. A call to arms is a call to battle. And this battle will be once again fought between two unseen forces, just as the war on terror is fought around the world every day. It will be a battle fought by those who will only be known by the spirit of whom they are sealed with, which is either Satan's spirit of Antichrist or by the Holy Ghost of the one and only living God of heaven and earth. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." In John 4, 35 through 37, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to be harvested." The thing is Jesus likens the world and the people in the world to a harvest. He's telling the disciples, "Did you not see those people that we preach to in those cities and those villages? The great compassion that moved upon me when I looked at them and realized they had no shepherd. They had no leader. They had no one to tell them what my word means. They had no one to bless them through my word. They had no one to draw them out of their darkness by hearing through the power of the Holy Spirit my Father's word. That is the only thing that can bring anyone out of darkness." And Jesus said, "And he that reapeth receive wages, and he that gathereth fruit and wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true: one soweth or plants the seed, and another reapeth or gathereth the harvest." We're either going to be doing continuously one or the other. We're going to be planting a seed, we're going to be watering a seed, or we're going to be reaping the harvest because of someone else the Lord has sent prior to us to plant that seed or to nurture that seed. But we are, mark my words, at the end of the harvest. The Lord's word bears it out. Jesus told his disciples that before they would be ready to do his work, that there was one thing they must do to be prepared for the battle. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49, it says of Jesus speaking to his disciples, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." There again, we're talking about before the day of Pentecost. Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples' spirits to receive God's understanding of what those scriptures actually meant, because the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen. So therefore, Jesus was able to breathe the Holy Spirit upon them for every action that he wanted them to be able to do before the day of Pentecost. You'll see the change. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should," or must is another word for should, "must be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things," Jesus said. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Upon you translates, or to lead you. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." Another name for the city of Jerusalem is the city of peace. "Tarry in the city of peace until ye be endued with the power from on high." In other words, controlled by the power of God from on high. Just what is this promise or this power from on high that Jesus said he would send back from God the Father when he returned to heaven? Well, in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "The former thesis I have made," or in other words, "the former paper that I have written, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up." Look at the next word. "After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So through the power of God, Jesus spoke into the life of the apostles and said, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them," make note of this, 40 days. Jesus was seen by all for 40 days that he chose to see him in that period of time, "and spake of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem," or the city of peace, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." For John truly baptized with water. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And Jesus is saying to his disciples now, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." This is a change. Something's coming. Just what did Jesus mean by this? All the disciples wanted to know is if this was the time that Jesus had set aside to restore the kingdom to Israel again. But Jesus had a very strange and perplexing answer for them. In Acts chapter 1, 6 and 7, Jesus says, "When they therefore came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." There again, Jesus stressed to them the importance of having the full armor of God upon them to do his work, as they would have to fight an invisible battle to get the job done. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, Jesus told the disciples this. Guess who the disciples are? Anyone who wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This wasn't just for them on that day. This is for us sitting here today. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. It's all recorded. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." That is a promise Jesus gave us. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The rapture, the catching away of the saints, those who are watching, ready and praying and waiting for the return of the Lord, shall one day meet him in the air very soon. You know, I got to stop right there for 1 second. I didn't really know if I would share this, but you know, it was just this week that the Lord God Almighty audibly spoke to me through a prophecy, through my mother. We were just talking on the phone. We were talking about things, and all of a sudden she just began to speak in tongues, and then the interpretation came, and the Lord God in such a boldness said, "Many shall hear my voice, and I am on my way sooner than anyone knows."
Hallelujah.
Verse 12 says, "Then returned they," the disciples. They didn't just hear Jesus say, "You can't do anything until you go back here and get this power from on high." It says, as soon as they saw Jesus go and the angels had reassured them that the promise was true, that Jesus would come again as he left to receive them, "then returned they unto Jerusalem," or the city of peace, "from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey." Now check this out, verse 13. "And when they were come in," okay, that has a significance, "they were come in, they went up into an upper room." They came to a higher calling that day in the sight of the Lord. They were obedient. They were watchful. They were prayerful. They went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealous and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord, with one mind, in prayer and supplication, which means specific request unto the Lord. And you know what it was? Lord, where is this power from on high? We want to see it. We're here. Jesus told us to come back and get it before we could go and do anything else. We're waiting on it, Lord. And also with them was the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Then, in Acts chapter 2, now we're coming in. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost," how many days did they see Jesus walking around after his passion, after he rose from the dead? 40 days. How long had they been there praying in the upper room, folks? We can't pray 10 minutes. They were there for 10 days. Because Pentecost means 50. "And when the 50th day was fully come," when the day of Pentecost was fully come, "they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Now, you know what? If it filled all the house where they were sitting with the Shekinah glory of God, and we are breathing creatures that our spirit has been given to us, what do you think happened to those who were sitting in there? Well, let me tell you. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." There's the change. There's the key to the power. "And began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Stop right there. I am so excited because I have something to share with you that the Lord showed me in all of this. He knows I'm a Holy Ghost preacher and that there is no way you're getting off this earth unless you have the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through these veins. And the Lord showed me today, and it's a timely message, and it's one that can be proclaimed day after day after this day forever until the Lord comes. I have something totally awesome to share with you about the phrase cloven tongues. Cloven tongues. The word cloven is derived from a word. Now, wait a second. This is going to be too easy. You know what? It's like this. You know all these people that say, you know, well, I believe in Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus, and now I'm saved, and I'm once saved, always saved, and I can just live my life anyway, and I can just ask the Lord to forgive me, and I'm going to heaven. Wrong. Well, you know what? The Lord says that before you can live and walk for Him, there was one more thing you must do. You must come to the 50th day. You must come to the day of Jubilee. 50, the number of Jubilee. Boy, and it's jubilant too. I don't suppose hardly any of you except Miss Lucy, and I'm right on the edge. And probably, you know, you may have had the opportunity, but you know, there were some places called Holy Roller places. We're Holy Rollers. But you would know that today. Because they used to dance in the aisles. They used to roll in the aisles. Because it wasn't them, it was the power of God working through them. The word cloven is derived from a word called cleave, which means to stick, or to stick to, or to adhere firmly and closely, or loyally and unwaveringly. In other words, the cloven tongues, listen closely. In other words, the cloven tongues, which are the signification of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ being filled with the indwelling power of God's Holy Spirit, is to show that they have received the indwelling power and leading of God's Holy Spirit, which is the only thing that can seal us to firmly live a close, loyal, adhered, and unwavering life unto the Lord God. I have never heard it put that way in my life. It is the only thing. Because, you know, you can be, you know, there's many works of the Holy Spirit. He's a wooer, he's a drawer, but he's also the sealer. You can be pricked in your heart and say, oh, maybe I should receive the Lord. And then, you know, you can be wooed. You can be drawn. Drawn is when you go running to that altar saying, Lord, with tears streaming down your face, I want you in my life. There's nothing left. But the sealer is the one, is the comforter. It's the Spirit of truth that opens the spiritual eyes and ears, opens the understanding of the spirit of man to receive all that God has, both in his spiritual power gifts and in his written word. We are also to be sealed by this indwelling power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live a firmly loyal, adhered, close, unwavering life unto the Lord God, so that we can be used of Him in the power gifts of His Holy Spirit. And you will not operate in the power gifts of the Holy Spirit until you're sealed in the power of God's Holy Spirit. I didn't say it, just take it up with the Lord. Those power gifts are found and outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we pick up again in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21, it says, remember, we're in a change right now. Acts chapter 2 is the opening salvo of the church. It's where now Jesus is nowhere visible anymore. He's working through us invisibly. We're doing the same works he did and even greater works, he said, because he's at the right hand of the Father. This was the opening salvo of the church, standing in the power of God's Spirit with Jesus' flesh nowhere to be seen. And it is the fulfillment of a prophecy given by the prophet Joel. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21 says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit unto all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And you're going to say, yeah, Pastor Dana, that's right. Since the day of Pentecost, that's the way it's been. But you know what? Not so. What's being said right here hasn't come yet. Yes, it has, but no, it hasn't. Yes, it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, but it says, in the last days. Well, Pastor Dana, you know, the last days is since the day that Jesus left here. Yes, I know. But then it goes on to say, in those days. Those days are these days. Not those days when Jesus first left. Why? Because it goes on to say, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This has not yet been seen upon the face of this planet. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. This is the last outpouring of God's Spirit. That's why he's recalling. That's why he's reordering. That's why he is taking that which was lost and bringing it back together so that it can be useful. That is why we're walking back into an appointed time to be bold as the church that operates under the power and gifting of the Holy Spirit, of the living God of heaven and earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, that has been for us since the day Jesus left. But there is a time coming shortly that it will be for those who shall be martyred. And in that time, it will be completely what it says. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because it's going to be a time after the rapture. And the only people that will be getting saved then are those who have not heard now. And they will be saved if they call upon the name of the Lord. Because in 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul says this of the Lord God, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, he has succored thee. He has sent us urgent help." Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, listen to this. We've said this every week. John, you probably remember this. We've said this every week for 5 years. Every week we've been here. Let's tell the truth now. John 14, 6. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am God, the way, Jesus, the truth, the Holy Spirit. I am the way, the truth, and the life, which only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Because the power that Jesus is talking about here, the power of life, is a resurrection power of God's Holy Spirit. And you cannot receive it unless you receive the indwelling power of God's Spirit. You will not have staying power if you don't. That's why the Lord makes a story, a parable about the sower. Because some will fall on stony ground, some will fall on dry ground, but some will fall on good ground. And the Lord said that the gate to eternal life was very narrow, and few there be that find it. And if you do not have the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ generated in your life, you will not be able to stand on your own. You just show me a person who's spirit-filled right here and a person who's just saved, and that's all. Then you get a couple of guys in here, one with a guillotine and one with an AK-47, and ask them to, okay, which one of you first will renounce your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think the man in the power of God is going to renounce Jesus? No. But do you think the man in the power of man is going to renounce Jesus? Yes. It's come down to where the rubber meets the road. We have to have the indwelling power of God's Spirit, not only to be able to stand in the end to whatever it is that faces us in this last hour, but it is also that the Lord Jesus Christ said that you cannot even witness effectively for him until you are endued with the indwelling power of His Spirit, so that people can be wooed, so that people can be drawn, and so that people can be sealed. In John chapter 3, 16 through 18, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might," there it is again, "might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's the reason you're going to perish. If you do not believe and accept everything that God has prepared for us, and it's in succession, it's you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart and walk righteously through Jesus Christ in your life by getting baptized in water. Because I got news for you. Way back when we read about the person who was baptized, you can go to heaven without being baptized in water. God never said that that was a requirement. But you know what? If you don't have the resurrection power to be lifted up off this earth or raised from the dead, I don't really know if you're going anywhere. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 goes on to say, "And whosoever was not written in the book of life, which belongs to Jesus, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Anyone whose name is not written in that Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire that has been prepared for the devil and his evil angels and demons." Which camp do you want to be in? Do you want to have Jesus in your heart and the power of God flowing through your veins and be raised up off this earth, whether you're dead or alive? Or do you want to be dead or alive and still end up in the lake of fire? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, that He may lift you up. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." That's what Jesus said. "I love you. Come to Me. I will never leave you without a comforter. I will always be with you. Whatsoever you ask in My name that is in My Father's will." Let's add that in. "That is in My Father's will, I will do," Jesus said. Peter goes on to say, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," not God's, because He is God's, of course, but He's also ours because we belong to God. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing whom he may devour." Think about what God has laid on your heart here tonight and answer the call that He has set before you. No matter what it is, for some it will be to surrender your life to His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that you may receive eternal life. And for others, it may be to receive the sealing and resurrection power of His Holy Spirit. And for some, it may be a call to stop being lukewarm and get on fire for the kingdom of God, for the harvest is truly ready to be harvested. And you need to be doing what God has called you to do. You say, how can we be sure that we are in God's perfect will? I tell you, it's by being certain that we have a relationship with and are serving the one which holds the keys to eternity. His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God said that He sent His Son into the world, that whosoever would believe in His Son. God is a title. Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus is the name of God. One of many. And the way to do the will of God is so simple that even a child can understand it. Everyone, will you please bow your heads and just give reverence unto the Lord God Almighty. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Paul says of God's great plan of salvation, or shall we say great plan of escape, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you should say with your mouth, I believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe it not only with your mouth, but in thine heart, that God raised Him from the dead, it says, thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world and came, died for your sin, shedding His precious and holy blood for you, and that God raised Him up to eternal life, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or right living in Jesus Christ, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every time you open your mouth and say, Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He's my Savior, the one who will take me home on the day that He has prepared. Because the Lord said through Paul, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. But you must call upon Him. There's a story. A son says to his father, Father, if I graduate from high school, will you give me a new car? And he says, sure, son. He says, all I ask of you is that you make good grades and that you read the Bible. So for the next 4 years, he made excellent grades. But on graduation, he said to his dad, Dad, I thought you were going to buy me a car if I did well. He says, yes, but I asked you to read the Bible. And he said, the title to your car was Between the Pages that you should have read. The Lord God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If today you have not received eternal life, because you know that's the start. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have eternal life. If you do not serve Jesus as your Lord and Savior and King and Master of your life, you do not have eternal life. So if you are here tonight while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you want Jesus, the one who careth for you, the one who sees everything that you need and desire and is able to bring it forth in your life, including eternal life, if you have in your heart tonight the Holy Spirit saying, receive my promise, which is the power of God speaking to you, raise your hand and just receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He's our only hope. Without Him, there is nothing anyone can do. And if tonight you are one who just wants to walk closer with the Lord and do that which He's prepared for you to do in the last hour of this closing age, of the church age, Just raise your hand and surrender unto the Lord. And if tonight, by any chance, there would be anyone, and remember what Pastor Tom said, do not deceive yourself. If there would be anyone who's walking in a lukewarm situation, surrender unto the Lord tonight in your heart. And repeat this prayer from your heart unto the Lord, and let Him do the work that He has prepared for each one of us in this hour. Father God,
Amen.
We come before Your throne, and we bow down.
Dear God,
I know I am a sinner,
and
I am in need
of a Savior.
And I know the Savior of the world
is Your Son,
Jesus Christ. Jesus,
I love You,
and I want You to be my Savior.
I invite You into my heart,
and from this day forward,
I have been
forgiven,
washed in the blood,
and no longer
want to walk
in sin.
Holy Spirit,
I ask
that You would indwell me,
that You would come upon me,
by the evidence of speaking in tongues,
that I may do the greater works. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo.